All right, old guys talk metal and sometimes punk podcast. Bobby, what you got for us?
Come on, man. So we do these little crazy things happening in metal and rock.
We do.
We did a few. We brought you a couple. I said, you know what? I'm going to do a couple of my own because I think it's funny.
Okay.
And I think maybe people don't know about some of the things that go on besides the music.
Sure.
You know, private people's lives or what's going on in the real world. Maybe they're caught up in, you know, worrying about their Bitcoin or whatever they're worrying about these days. Maybe COVID or maybe, you know. You know, whatever's going on at the Taco
Staring
Bell.
At their cell phone on the bus.
Everybody's staring at their cell phone. This is the world we live in, man. You can't, even music now, everything's digital, right? You listen on your phone, on Spotify.
On my way
How
to work
How much money
in the
are you
morning?
Making at Spotify? 6 billion of a cent?
Nothing.
Nothing. So we'll get into that and what I'm going to talk about today and a few things.
All right.
But I'm going to kick it off, of course, with our friend Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden.
Oh, okay.
So, Brickus Tickets, they came out recently with our friend Jericho and Talk with Jericho podcast. You know, Jericho's he's also a WWE wrestler.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Chris Jericho and a singer for Fozzy, right?
Yep.
So, he claims to have performance anxiety and stage fright after every show. You'd think he'd be over this with maybe
Bruce Dickinson?
So long. Yes.
Performance anxiety?
Yes. He gets freaked out after show and he has a list of, like, the song lyrics in the back just in case he forgets them. But he never does. But maybe it's like a.
I mean, Ozzy has the teleprompter.
We'll
I mean,
get into that. But
wait a minute, though. The dude flies the plane with all the band in it, right? I don't think I'd want to.
He's
get
nervous.
The plane
wow.
with the guy that forgets his lyrics.
But maybe it's like a safety net. But he never uses the lyrics by backstage.
He's the guy waving a flag around on the stage and getting it. I mean, really? Okay, go ahead.
So Bruce says, I get nervous right before I go on stage with Maiden, especially beginning of a tour. He said, once you're sort of like 5 or 6 shows in, you're kind of back in the routine. So you kind of know what's going to happen on stage. But the big fear, especially for a singer, is that you walk on stage and open your mouth and garbage comes out or nothing at all.
I don't believe
Forget the lyrics.
I have trouble believing that.
It's just from Bruce's mouth, not from mine.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Vince Neil.
Pregnant Vince Neil. I think he's pregnant, too.
He still sucks. Anyway.
He is pregnant.
So Bruce said, and that's irrational, but it's valid, he says. So I just own up to it. He goes, I mean, I keep a copy of the lyric sheet backstage. I never look at it, but I knew it was there. If it wasn't there, I'd freak out. If you knew it wasn't there, he'd flip out a little
bit. Okay, all right.
Then every tour, once I get to like 6 or 7 shows in, the training wheels come off, and I leave it all in the wardrobe case, all the lyrics
Bruce
in the
Dickinson
wardrobe
doesn't
case.
Need training wheels. Are you kidding me?
But we know Bruce is on tour with a one-man show coming to the Mesa Amphitheater.
Yes, yeah, okay, yes, yeah, true. Yep.
But the one-man show is a different story. And I heard Sturdy did an acapella version of Revelations during the show.
Why wouldn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Okay.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Love so it's different for him because the spoken word, he can just go off the cuff and do what you got to say, what you got to say.
Well, he's doing a Steve Harris song.
And if you stop at all, stop. It's just him talking, right?
So how much trouble would we get in if we kidnapped him in Mesa and brought him back here and held him for a couple of days and made him
I don't know, man.
Put a black hood on him and just put him in the back of a van.
We'll probably get in a lot of trouble. It's Bruce Dickinson.
I bet you could beat the shit out of all of us.
Yeah,
he probably could.
He probably could.
Somebody would make a movie out of it.
Yeah, we need a lot of duct tape to do that. But go ahead.
So 2 years ago, Mr. Dickinson called out singers who use teleprompters during live performances, saying, I don't use an auto cue on stage. Okay. A lot of singers do now, and they have the words that are like, breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law.
Wait a minute. He's dissing Rob?
Hang on.
Okay.
And he said, the teleprompter auto cue is a display device that prompts the person speaking with a visual text, of course.
Yeah.
So many people use it, including Rob Halford, Judas Priest, and Black Sabbath's Ozzy Osbourne,
of course.
Who are getting on a bit and have a large body of work to remember. They have a lot of songs to remember, a lot of lyrics.
But Ozzy's lyrics are so stupid. Why does he need the...
I don't know.
He can just mumble
He's
up
Ozzy.
There.
He's Ozzy, you know. So Bruce previously brought up the topic of singers relying on teleprompters in a 2014 interview with The Guardian. He said at the time, I never realized that people were using auto-cues. What the fuck is that all about?
Right.
People pay good money, and you can't even remember the fucking lyrics?
Right.
Right?
He's got a point.
When I was singing in a band, I don't know if you know the same thing with Jason there, singing in a band, I memorized my lyrics, man.
I still know the lyrics to every song I've ever
Do you
written.
See Yngwie up there with a music stand?
Yngwie ain't singing.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The guitar
is he
players
playing
don't need
the
it.
Exact same solos that you hear on the albums?
If he doesn't, people are going to be pissed off.
Yngwie's winging it.
So the 90...
Yngwie's winging it.
Yngwie's winging it.
We heard
That's
that.
That's his new album. It's blues. Yngwie sings the blues.
Yngwie wings it with a whammy bar. Go ahead.
So we continue. 63-year-old Bruce Dickinson.
Okay.
Continues. The daftest one I ever saw on stage was Judas Priest breaking the law. Mm. It's on the fucking auto cue. He says, "Breaking the law, breaking the law." It's fucking ludicrous. You know what the next lyric is? Guess what? Breaking the law.
Well, yeah. They only have to write it once. Okay, yeah, what happens now? It. It's like hallelujah when you're at the Christian church. It says hallelujah,
so after
hallelujah,
a few weeks
hallelujah,
of Dickinson, Guardian interview was published. Halford was asked about the main frontman's comments during a chat with Australian AndrewHogue.com.
Okay.
The first thing Rob Halford says about Bruce Dickinson on that show, he was on the show about Halford, was, "Bruce Dickinson is a good mate of mine. I love the man. I love him to death. He's an incredible singer. He's a great showman. He's a wonderful band, Iron Maiden, who are one of the biggest metal bands in the world, as we know."
Absolutely.
"And as far as what people say about each other, I don't think it really depends that much on me, to be quite honest. We say whatever we say, depending on the day and the emotion that we're feeling at the time. I know that Bruce's heart is in the right place, and he just said what he said, and all that is to comment on is no disrespect at all, in his opinion, Rob Halford." Rob Halford didn't care at all.
What does he care?
He doesn't care.
No. He's riding on a motorcycle.
He's hell bent for leather.
He didn't care. Oh. He's hell bent for leather. What the
hell? What does he care about that? So as we continue on this discussion
here. Breaking the law.
He's breaking the law.
Yeah.
Yep. He's living after midnight.
He's done his share of working out.
Living after midnight.
He's at Trader Joe's stealing stuff, breaking the law.
Yeah. Right.
Mr.
Right.
Halford, could you put that back?
I love that breaking the law video too, when they're in the bank and then they whip out the guitars like they're shooting people.
Bad videos. There's a podcast for you. Bad metal videos.
Go ahead, Bobby. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it.
So on further review as you go along here, in a 2010 interview with the QMI agency, Halford spoke about using a teleprompter, which helped him when he was asked to fill in for Ozzy with Black Sabbath for a show when Osbourne was taken ill.
You know what? I've got a video of that.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Is it good?
Yes.
I never saw it.
He's good.
Really?
Yeah, he's good. He's Rob Halford.
Did he sing The Wizard? No.
I don't know if he sang The Wizard, but he did, yeah. I mean, he's up there with Tony Iommi and Geezer. Come on, people.
So he says, "I use a teleprompter now, too, because I do too many things," he says. Mm. He said, "I can't remember. I wish I was like my mate Bruce Dickinson and could do everything, but I need that safety blanket at all times."
Apparently, Bruce needs a safety blanket, too.
So here comes, in enters Sharon Osbourne.
Oh, God, Elvis. Right? Okay, go ahead.
Oh, shit.
You know her relationship with Iron Maiden. Go ahead.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
So during the 2005 edition of Ozfest, which I saw a few times, the traveling festival's founder, Ozzy's wife and manager, Sharon Osbourne, famously cut the venue's public address system and the main stage's power on at least three occasions during Iron Maiden's performance at the tour's final stop in Dover, California, because she said that Dickinson was talking shit about my family night after night and was being very disrespectful to her husband during Bruce's nightly outburst from the stage by saying that we don't need a fucking teleprompter like Ozzy.
I'm going to disagree with that one. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
When you're on Ozfest, you can't upstage Ozzy. And of course, Iron Maiden's going to upstage Ozzy.
Yes.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Because their gymnastics, their ability to play and put on a show is far beyond Ozzy.
Yeah.
I don't care. Ozzy's cool. I'm not saying anything about him, but he can just stand there and be like, you know what I mean? It's like, if you upstage Ozzy on the Ozfest, you're fucking fired. That's all there is to it. In fact, you can't really have Iron Maiden open for Ozzy. Why would you go on stage as Ozzy after Iron Maiden played? You have to be an idiot.
Black Sabbath. It was Black Sabbath.
I'm just saying. It's Ozfest.
Yeah.
You can't go, I mean, unless you have Randy Rhodes up there.
And there's claim.
Randy Rhodes.
Yeah, well, I mean, come
the
on.
Ghost of Randy Rhodes.
Even if it's Zakk Wylde, you can't go up there and play after Maiden. Nobody could play after Maiden. I don't care who you are.
I don't think you. What do you think, Jason?
Metallica could play after Maiden.
No.
Yes.
I disagree.
They'd be opening up for Maiden.
They'd be opening for Maiden.
I saw Metallica open for Ozzy back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's great. That totally makes sense.
I think it was then Justice for All Tour.
But didn't they were headlining their own tour in that tour with the Queensryche Operation Mindcrime tour.
Oh,
this kind of reminds me. Let me tell you what this reminds me of. King Crimson opening up for Tool. How does that happen in this world?
Well, because Tool is big now. They're big, big, big.
I know, but they steal so much from King Crimson. It's just like,
I understand now. In the world of metal and music, Iron Maiden and Metallica are all heavyweights. They're heavyweights. okay?
Sure.
They're a heavyweight band.
Sure.
Same with Priest.
Right.
Because they're a legendary band. It's like Maiden is. Nothing taken from Metallica. Nothing.
Okay.
Even though I don't go
even
past,
they have ballads.
Okay. Even though whatever. I don't go past the for me, Injustice for All was the end of good Metallica. I'm sorry. I just,
there's a point at which we find our limit. Sure.
Yeah. I agree with you too.
I think so too. I think that was it. We'll leave the Lulu album out of it.
Ride the Lightning.
Lulu. If you know, I love Lou Reed. We're gonna leave that out of the.
I do love Lou Reed. Yes, I do.
So there you go, man. If you're sticking to the teleprompters, you know, I guess it is. But I see a lot of.
Can AC/DC open for Ozzy?
This is what. No.
Come on.
No.
Think about it.
But here's the problem too. Bruce is on to something here. I see young bands playing in club. I sat at the local when I was there New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
A good little band girl, but they still had like an iPad there with the lyrics on them.
Right.
I don't know why. And it is becoming commonplace. I see it all the time now. I'm like,
it's because people are stupid.
And they memorize the lyrics anymore?
It's a bigger form of karaoke for bands like that than sure. cover bands yeah. because they yeah. try to do 3 hours of music.
Yeah.
Now the guitarist, he's over there, and the bass player and the drummer, they don't have that shit. They're, right. They're up there
yeah.
working
Ingvay
it out.
Doesn't
but
have
but the
music.
Singer, the singer comes in, la 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 la. She has to look. Oh, I just sang the second verse twice. You know.
Right.
That's what karaoke is.
That's what Billie Eilish is.
That's where these people are coming from. Yeah. You know, they're getting in these cover bands because wow, I saw you at karaoke the other night. You were really good. Really? Yeah. You should join our band. Okay. You know.
That's, you've got a point.
That's not the way it used to be. You used
got
to
a point there.
Write your own lyrics, get your shit together, and play music.
Right. Last time I tried to sing karaoke, I tried to sing Run to the Hills and Frosty the
Hell
Snowman,
no.
and I failed miserably at both.
Should have done Rudolph.
I kept saying Frosty the Crackman, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry, Frosty the Snowman. Go ahead. What do you got, Bobby?
Here we go. So you guys know about what's happening lately in music, right? It's been a recent thing. Neil Young versus Spotify versus Seth, Joe yeah. Rogan. I say Seth Rogan. Yeah. I like Seth Rogan.
Seth Rogan.
Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan.
Because of the weird misinformation about the vaccine that Joe Rogan put out, he said, either I'm on that Spotify or Joe Rogan is. If I'm not going to be on the, if Joe Rogan's still on there, take my music off Spotify. You can't have Neil Young and Joe Rogan on the same platform.
Well, I'll just throw this out there right now. I freaking hate Neil Young. I've always hated him. I haven't done a podcast on this yet, but his music sucks.
Yep.
And his vocals suck. His vocals are freaking terrible.
So you prefer Joe
but,
Rogan?
No, I don't. Okay. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm just saying that if we lose Neil Young from Spotify, who gives a fuck? Because his songs suck. Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. You know what? Bullet in your head.
Hey, hey, my, my, rock and roll will never die.
Thank you.
What about
Keep Rockin' in America?
Or Free World,
yeah. Keep on rockin' in the free world.
You know what? Fuck off.
What about Cinnamon Girl?
Fuck off.
That was probably the only song he did that was actually attractive
to
listen
to. He was cool with Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, but they were probably better as just Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yeah. Anyway, we knew
they were.
We knew this would be bad anyway for Neil because... Yeah, Seth Rogen's a money-making machine. Seth Rogen. I keep saying it's Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan's a money-making machine, a corporate money-making machine. I'll say
here's
that.
Joe Rogan.
That he makes a ton of money for Spotify. He makes
but
a ton
so
of money.
So does Glenn Beck.
What does he make? $500,000 a show, Joe Rogan? Come
yeah,
on, man.
So does Sean Hannity.
He's
who
got
cares?
He's got the biggest commercial podcast of all time. Everybody's on board with Joe Rogan.
It's not gonna last.
Yeah,
long.
But I'm saying Neil Young didn't stand a chance. They looked at the numbers. See you later. But anyway. I digress because the people are weighing in on this now.
Yeah.
I'm weighing in on it right
now.
Yeah,
it's a big thing.
And
it's
so,
all over NPR.
Let's
and...
talk about this now.
Neil Young is boring.
Sebastian Bach.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Wait
of
a minute.
Of Skid Row. Wait,
let me sit down.
And Jamie Josta of Hatebreed have weighed on a Neil Young decision to issue a letter to his management team demanding Spotify to remove the music from the streaming service over vaccine misinformation on Joe Rogan's podcast recently.
Well, they're going to go down.
Sebastian Bach doesn't know who does.
That was a stupid idea.
In the now-deleted post on the website, Young said the music and podcast platform is spreading fake information about vaccines, potentially causing death to those who believe this information is true and real to them.
Well, he's got a point there, but it doesn't mean he doesn't suck.
I want you to let Spotify know immediately... Today, that I want all my music off their platform. Take the music off today, Neil Young says. He wrote, they can have Rogan or Young, not both. Okay?
Well, he only gets pennies per play anyhow.
So it was an estimated. Listen to
but
this.
But nobody's listening to him anymore. He's so, like just making a noise to be heard, and nobody's listening to him.
We're going to have to agree with him. Okay. What's your point, Bobby?
Sugar Mountain.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway.
I'm glad you brought this up. Go ahead.
So with an estimated 11 million listeners per episode.
Sure.
Joe Rogan.
Right.
Per podcast.
Per podcast.
Which is hosted exclusively on Spotify, is the world's largest podcast. Its tremendous influence across the world. Young continued.
What so I'm afraid of is
Neil that, buried himself by saying that already.
I'm just afraid that if I type in Joe Rogan on my Spotify playlist just to see what kind of stupid fuckery he's doing, that they're going to keep sending me more shit from him.
That's right.
Which is yeah, just, you'll get bombarded.
Yeah.
With
you
his
put
fuckery.
A type in Neil Young, it's like, whatever. They're going to kick
so,
you off. I don't
so
really
Neil Young further says Spotify is.
Neil Young is dead.
He says Spotify's responsibility to mitigate the spread of misinformation on its platform, though the company presently has no misinformation policy on their. They have the you could be misinforming all you want on Spotify, apparently, like we do.
Yeah, people are clearly misinformed on our
yeah,
show.
We're in pocket. Yeah. We're in Spotify too. We don't see time one. So, anyway, so early on Tuesday, January 25th, Jamie Johnston from Hatebreed shared a tweet from the right-wing outlet The Blaze. About Ooh. Neil's request.
Okay.
And he included the following comment, Spotify doesn't care about you, Neil.
Okay, go ahead.
Rogan is not your problem.
Right.
Start your own damn streaming platform where you pay bands more than Spotify pays, then they'll care.
Right. Yes, thank you.
Attaboy. Hate breed.
So after a few hours later,
right,
Mr. Sebastian Bach chimed in.
He did?
Yes, he did. Retweeting.
Why didn't Udo Dirkshimer chime in?
I don't know.
He's too little.
We don't know what we're doing.
You can't hear him.
We may hear from Loudness later. A lot of people Loudness in Japan.
What did Bruce Dickinson say?
He I don't know.
Joe
he didn't
Rogan
say anything. He
didn't
teleprompter.
So Sebastian Bach.
Go ahead. What is it?
He retweeted Jamie Joss's comment about misinformation about the vaccines is everyone's problem, he says, Sebastian
yeah.
Bach.
Okay.
Neil Young is doing this because he wants rock and roll to exist and yep. his fans to live.
He's right. He's got a point.
The other guy is a complete jackass mm-hmm. who doesn't give a shit about anybody or anything except his own fucking self.
Right.
Joe Rogan.
That's true.
God bless Sebastian Bach.
They've all got a good point there.
Yeah, at least Sebastian yeah. Bach said something intelligent, you know.
Of course, we don't really care about him and nobody else does, but whatever.
So Frank Garanda, Neil Young's manager, confirmed to the Daily Beast that the two would discuss Young's concerns over the project or Spotify. We're trying to figure this out
okay.
right now. And he added that Neil is very upset about this misinformation. He's upset about it. Doesn't want people dying.
Know, I totally agree, but go ahead.
So it doesn't matter because the Joe Rogan experience became Spotify exclusive in 2020. He's signed a multi-million gigantic contract, so he's going nowhere. A huge deal. He's locked in for life. Goodbye, Neil Young. Neil Young is already off the platform. He's gone. He's gone. He left.
Right.
Neil just took off.
He's like leftover meatloaf.
Neil was dumb. Yeah.
Which I like.
Meatloaf is still on there.
I'll throw one thing about Neil Young that I do like.
Okay.
He's a big supporter of Sonic Youth.
He is.
One of my favorite shoegaze bands.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Sonic Youth.
Yeah.
You know, Neil Young's done a lot of really great things for alternative music and underground music in his lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, he's obviously an acid head. Quicksilver Messenger Service.
Yep.
Buffalo Springfield.
Yep.
The guy's not an idiot.
So, but when you're weighing like huge sums of money against Neil Young,
yeah,
Neil's
fuck.
Gonna lose.
It's over.
And he lost. Yeah. He lost.
Of course, he lost.
He got Sebastian Bach over his house for dinner, probably. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of kids in the school lunch line saying, do we want tater tots? Or do we, you know what I mean? It's like the choice was clear.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Clear. Yeah. You want day old bread or fresh?
Right. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. The kids could have done this.
That's right. That's right. Salisbury steak or like a prime rib.
What a great topic, Bobby. Where'd you find this topic? I love it.
Oh, I continue. I'm not done yet, man.
I heard that he was kicked off, but go ahead.
Oh, my God.
I saw this great meme on Facebook the other day where there's just a kid, girl is kicked out of the side of a truck, and the truck's moving on.
Yeah.
You know, it's the truck says Spotify, and Neil Young is the girl that they just kicked out of the truck.
So I always try to save the best for last, right?
Okay, go ahead.
So we got our old friend, the Motor City Madman, 10-ton terrible Ted.
Not again.
Going in back at the news again. This time he's going after The boss himself, Mr. Bruce Springsteen.
Nice. Good. I'd love to see those two in a celebrity cockfight.
Oh, here we go.
What did Bruce do to him?
Yeah.
Outspoken rocker Ted Nugent, our old friend, has praised dirtbag Bruce Springsteen.
He calls praised
him,
dirt, him.
He calls him dirtbag.
Oh, okay.
For always hiring the best musicians, helping deliver his mediocre songs live in concert.
I can't say that Bruce Springsteen songs are mediocre.
No.
I can't. But
yeah, they're terrible.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that I love him.
So, but Springsteen can be described as Nugent's political polar opposite, having been a vocal opponent to former U.S. President Donald Trump on many occasions.
Sure.
As we know, Ted is a big Trump supporter.
Sure.
So in August 2020, Bruce went as far as to allow the use of a song, The Rising, in a video that aired during one night of the Democratic National Convention.
Still not going to be as big as Born in the USA.
No. Born to Run, whatever.
Never will.
As we know, Neil just sold his whole catalog of songs. Made big money on selling his catalog.
Then what does he care
he's
about?
He's still making a ton of money.
What does he care about Joe Rogan then?
As we know, he wrote Blinded by the Light, which is a big man for
Blinded
man
by
song.
The Light, yeah.
He wrote that. It's
oh, I didn't know
song.
That.
It's on yep. Greetings from Ashbury
yeah.
Park. Yeah.
Yep. It is. Huh. Now he's making tons of money off it to this day.
So yeah. What Blinded is, by the Light. So he's the only one that knows what, Wrapped Up in a Douche?
No, he said he knows nothing about the song, but just a bunch of just trying to rhyme. Learning rhyming.
Yeah, the man for man version is much better.
It said it means nothing. He means nothing. Yeah. He's just trying to learn. Great songs. So it continued, Mr. Nugent, of course.
Oh, God help us.
From his probably his compound in Michigan or wherever he's living now.
Wherever.
Does he still have cat scratch fever?
He does.
I hope he does.
Got it for some kitty next door.
Yeah.
So instead of going. So instead of going after Bruce for being a dirtbag, okay. Supporting communists like Joe Biden and Barack Obama.
Nice.
People that ruin everybody's quality of life, especially for minorities.
And hunters.
How Bruce couldn't see that, he'll never know.
Bruce Springsteen, does he give a shit about
Nobody says he's used, but I would like to salute Mr. Springsteen, because he always supported Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels. Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels, right?
Sure.
A foundational, fortified A-10 war dog of musical authority in all great bands' lives, Ted says.
What the fuck?
an A-10 warthog of musical authority. That's what he says about
it. Isn't a warthog like a tank?
Mitch Ryder and Detroit Wheels. I don't know. And if nothing else, if I met Bruce, I wouldn't punch him, he says.
Oh, well, that's nice.
I would have... What did he say? Oh, my God. He
said, I would have Caitlin punch him.
No, maybe. I would always have Mike Tyson with me, and I give him $100 to punch assholes, Mike Tyson. Give him $100 to punch assholes. He claims he has Mike Tyson all the time with him.
Mike Tyson's a known hallucinogenic drug abuser.
You think Mike Tyson's hanging out with Nugent? Come on, man. Where's he bringing this up from?
It's possible.
You think Mike Tyson's going to fall Nuge around?
I think Mike Tyson's hanging out in Miami doing coke. I don't think
Ted
he's hanging
Nugent.
Out with the Nuge.
Oh, that's my friend Ted Nugent.
But it goes, even I wouldn't have. Goes,
I whoop Springsteen's ass.
And Michael Springsteen.
I didn't know Michael Tyson was in the studio tonight. He goes, even then, I wouldn't have Mike punch him at all. I wouldn't have Mike punch him at all. I would say, Mike, take a minute off. Huh. Go find some other asshole to punch.
I'd say keep politics out of music, asshole.
So he says, hey, Mike, take it off. Go punch some other asshole in the face.
Yeah.
Here's $100.
Because like,
Mike Tyson
Mike
needs $100.
Yeah, right. He needs $100. Wow. $100 per punch? I don't think so.
Because, however, but I'm going to say thank you to Mr. Springsteen, because we share the same reverence and admiration for musical integrity and enthusiasm.
Okay.
And you have to admit, Bruce's career is based on his musical heart and soul.
Yeah.
The delivery and content of the lyrics I don't abide by most of the time, so he's not agreeing with the lyrics most of the time.
Okay.
But I would thank you for his enriching lies with his powerful music. So it's not mediocre after. It's kind of powerful.
So what does he say? Does he say he hates him or not? Why is he so soft on him now after he just said
well,
he hated
says,
him?
However, I wouldn't go into his communist predications.
Oh, God.
I would also thank him for doing a 9/11 tribute. So he's got some great, great spirit in him. Right? Just give him a little props to Mr. Springsteen, the boss himself.
After he just told him to fuck off.
He's kind of backtracking a little bit, isn't he?
Yeah. He always does that, doesn't he?
Are they Ted, in the same you label?
Well, he's got
the
Mike
boss.
Tyson, so, you know. So Nugent isn't the only conservative rocker who's been critical of Springsteen lately. Okay. Last year, Aaron Lewis released a single of Am I the Only One, in which the Stain frontman called Springsteen out at the end of the song, singing, I am the only one who quit singing along every time they play a Springsteen song, I just quit singing. So he diss the boss too, but.
How many people, listen. Bruce Springsteen just sold his whole catalog for like $250 million to Sony.
Mm-hmm. More than Bowie did, I think.
Right? I think it's more than Bowie.
More than Bowie.
Right? And I think it's more than Madonna sold her.
How the heck did Bob Dylan sell for more than like Bruce Springsteen or Bowie? He sold for more.
Because Bob Dylan has a longer career than all those guys do.
Yeah, but you can't understand.
Bob Dylan's been around since like 1958. Okay. I have no idea when he started singing, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
Okay? I'm just saying, what's Ted Nugent going to sell his intensities catalog for?
Wango Tango.
Double Live Gonzo.
What is his catalog going for?
Weekend Warriors.
Weekend Warriors
million?
Is a good album.
25 million.
But then he got into like.
10 million. What's he going to sell it for? Come on, people.
He's not.
It's on the auction block right now. What are you guys going to pay?
But then he was on Miami Vice. That's worth a couple bucks. He was on Miami Vice as a drug dealer.
Ted Nugent was?
Yeah. Yeah. He gets shot by Crockett and Tubbs.
Dude, come on.
He did.
Get him, Tubbs.
Dude, if that's his claim to fame, what the fuck ever. That's all I can say.
But tune in next week at the Nuge text.
I'll bet you that the Nuge being against Springsteen only brought up Springsteen's value.
So tune in next week.
Maybe he's the patsy. Maybe they're on this together.
But
maybe people are going, who is this Ted Nugent? Right. Ah, he's great.
Yeah, or brought up Springsteen's catalog because all the people that hate the Nuge. So it's like maybe they're in on this together. Maybe he called him up and he's like, hey, Bruce, what's up? Yeah, listen, I got a great idea. I'm going to tell you to fuck off. Oh, God, this is like a great idea. I'm just getting ready to sell my catalog to Sony.
I'm going to have Mike beat your ass.
Yeah.
But also, Ted Nugent is
can I come out and shoot some ducks with you? Sure, come on by.
Yeah, they're probably out killing some right now, laughing their ass off.
A rhino, they're killing
a baboon
family.
I know we're talking about it today, but also the Nugent.
With Neil Young. Neil Young's there killing shit, too. Hey, you know I got an idea. Let's go find this Joe Rogan cat.
That digressed quickly.
Well, we also know for many years he's embroiled in a bitter battle with Sebastian Bach. We'll get into that later.
Who is?
Nuge.
What?
Him and Sebastian were going at it for years. Remember there was
I'd love to see them.
There was
fight.
A making of the band. We was in a band with Nuge. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was a Nuge, Jason Bonham on drums, Nuge guitar. Sebastian, it was called
Damn Yankees.
Democracy.
It was Damn Yankees.
No.
Damn Yankees.
That was Tommy Shaw and like Jack Blades.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, okay, Blades. I'm sorry. Whatever. Nugent did start another band where he was. Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
You Could Still Rock in America. Wasn't that the name of one of
their
songs?
Wait.
Damn Night Yankees. Ranger. No.
Oh.
No.
Let's just say some of the best Nuge or some good Nuge songs were actually sung by Meatloaf. Let's just throw that out there.
Yeah, I meant with this thing on Nuge songs, yeah.
Nuge wasn't the singer for a long time.
Can you take me higher? That's the Damn Yankees.
Yeah, the Meatloaf was one of Nuge's singers.
Little sister, here's the stage. He's coming of age. That's Damn Yankees.
Yeah, that's Damn Yankees.
Which, pretty much, I like Damn Yankees. They're all right. They're all right.
Sure.
But the Nuge got kicked out anyway. But so anyway... We'll get back into the monumental Sebastian Bach Ted Nugent feud going on for many, many years. Nobody really cares.
Zero people care, but we'll do it anyway.
They're both fine.
And I'll do a couple of Vince Neil things next week too, as well as Stephen Percy from Rat. We'll get into that,
dude. Vince Neil. So let me tell you a funny story about this.
Okay.
If you want to hear it.
Sure. Why not?
You want to hear it?
Yeah. Does it involve loudness or?
I wish it did.
Bang Tango or
Rock and Roll Crazy Night
or Tigers of Pantang.
No, they opened up. Okay, listen. They opened up for Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Nobody knew why.
The crew.
Yeah. Nobody knew why. Okay. We weren't sure.
Okay.
60 people. You know, my crew of people that were local in San Diego. We showed up there to do the show, unloading the trucks and everything. And there was this Asian sound guy named Tang.
Yeah.
He's a front of house guy that worked for Sound Image.
Tang.
Yeah. And he's like, and I walked out front when he was doing the sound check. And I was like, this sounds freaking terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, two things, three things. I said, okay, three things. What are they? The band sucks. I was like, okay. He goes, sound man sucks. He says, I go, okay. And he says, the band sucks. That was it. And then when Aerosmith came on, I realized why Aerosmith are rock stars. Why they're rock stars.
It must have been after their drunken Toxic Twin stage. You know,
whatever, dude. Them. Because Aerosmith went up on stage and blew the fuck out of the crowd. They were awesome.
Yeah.
And they sounded great.
Yep.
I mean, it was incredible. I was blown. I never really liked Aerosmith until I saw them live that night. And I was like, you know what? They're rock stars. And now I know why. And the crew sucked a dick.
Yeah.
They were terrible.
Really?
Yeah, they were so H'd up and just it sounded thin. I didn't hear any bass.
Nothing, huh? No Mick Mars? All messed up?
So boring.
Mick Mars is dead. That's a puppet.
He's a corpse.
What's the drummer's name? Tommy something?
Tommy Lee.
Yeah, he was boring. They're boring. When Aerosmith came on, I was like, wow, okay. Yeah. There's a rock band. There's some stars.
I saw the moment for Ozzy on the Diary of a Madman tour.
Diarrhea of a Madman?
I remember it was the Bark at the Moon. It was the Shout at the Moon.
Bark at the Moon.
Shout at the Devil tour. Yeah, oh. Bark at the Moon. I thought it was Diary of a Madman tour.
No, it was Shout at the Devil, and it was...
sure it wasn't The Ultimate Sin?
That was messed up.
No, it was the third album from Ozzy, so it was J.K.B.
It would be Bark at the Moon.
At the Moon.
Yep.
Because I saw that tour.
J.K.B. Lee is going to have props. If you don't like J.K.B. Lee, listen to a band called Badlands.
If you don't like J.K.B. Lee, you don't belong here.
If you
on
don't have
show.
The Badlands album in your collection, something's wrong with you. You're a metalhead, yeah. So that's it for me, man. That's the world of news, man, around the world.
Love it. Thank you, Bobby.
Teleprompters,
great
Ted Nugent, Jamie Josta.
Neil Young.
We
threw
boss.
Neil Young out there. The boss.
we threw it all in a soup and mixed it all up like some bad.
We got Sebastian like, Bach, Neil Young, and
it was like
in a
really,
fist fight.
It's really like sticky, smelly goulash. But I got it out there. That's we do great. It. It's smattered across the world. I'm right in your face. Love it. Live it. Learn it.
That's what's happening in the world of metal.
So we love to bring you this stuff each and every week. So keep tuning in. So once again, listen, Old Guys Talk Metal Sometimes Punk podcast.
Punks.
Go to the oldguystalkmetal.com. Oldguystalkmetal.com for everything in hard rock, heavy metal, and punk.
Hey, I want to say we're up to almost 40,000 listens on our podcast.
Yeah, a lot of people. We're still in the top 20 of heavy metal podcasts in the world. Thank you for that. Top 20 worldwide.
Worldwide.
Thank
people.
You once again, Jason Williams, for sitting in with us.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you for having me, man.
And thank
come
you
back,
once again to
please.
The Diabolical Sean Hart and me, Bobby V. Thank you once again for tuning in.
Yeah.
We appreciate you and all your support. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye bye.